Good morning again, everyone. I was away for a week. Not that you missed me, but I was in Florida at my old parish, and I gave a parish mission there for Lent for 3 days. It was nice to be back there. I spent my youth there. By that I mean in my 40s, and for those of you who are below that, believe me, that is still young. It was wonderful to see everybody. You know, most of the people that I knew once upon a time have fallen asleep in the Lord. And the community was made up of mostly people long in the tooth, like myself, so to speak. But a wonderful worshiping community. And when someone like myself goes to another worshiping community, one does a whole lot of comparisons, if you will. Imagine you do that too when you visit other places. And I must say, this place, and I'm prejudiced perhaps, is certainly full of like-minded people of what I saw in that particular community, really of many ages. People that are filled with faith, people that live in hope, and people that want to love and do love and ask for forgiveness for the times when they haven't loved. Indeed, Jesus says in the scriptures today at the end of the gospel, as you just heard from St. John, that God knows well human nature. Yes, he knows us. He knows our frailties. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our vulnerabilities. He knows our temptations and our tempers and our desires. He knows because the Father created us. And of course, because of the fall of our first parents, we inherit something that is called, well, once we're baptized, which gives us grace to be healthy and holy, it means sanctifying grace, we have that concupiscence that's left over. That part of ourselves that is the gift of free will, where, with the help of God's grace, we are armored with that grace in my free will to choose life and light, which is to say, to choose Christ. It's our Lord and Savior, and the words that he gives us is a map of how we are to be. Or we can be easily influenced by our own weaknesses and our own selfish will, bratty will sometimes. And of course, the devil likes to whip up the sin whispering that he goes through. And instead of being lifted up, as he talks about in John's Gospel sometimes, because of my own sinfulness, or maybe I'm doing the best I can, God knows we try, and I look out and I see what's going on in the world, and I wonder where you are. Catholics, so aware of the real presence, are consequently very aware of the real absence, because we know what it is to have a sensibility about the presence of God. We are a sacramental people, but along the way, for whatever reason, we pray that we don't, in our human nature, lose the sensibility to look out and see Christ in the world. And where he is not, we bring him, his gifts, his fruits, his promises. I suppose it depends on the attitudes that we cultivate. For instance, I quote here often the fathers of the church who would say that the attitude is the father of the action. One of the reasons that we go to confession is to have our attitudes graced. Because sin, concupiscence, our weakness, can influence us. If the attitude is the father of the action and sin clouds our vision, our minds, and our understanding and causes a stiff neck, which means stubbornness, that I can have an attitude that births certain actions that are hardly manifesting the light of Christ in the world, or what Francis of Assisi would call being an instrument of God's presence in the world. It happens to us, and so we are called by the Holy Spirit, whom I always say pesters us, to come to him with all of our hearts, to come to him so that we can hear the words that we've just had this morning, such as from Exodus, the Ten Commandments, to realize that this is the Decalogue, if you will, the 10 mandates that are given to us. Not invitations, not suggestions, but they are commandments that God gives us, and God gives the grace, especially when we're faithful to confession and hearing his word, receiving his body and his blood, and consequently in my attitude, which generates a certain action, I surround myself with people who think like people who belong to God. And so we, whenever we join at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, do something of the body of Christ, the Church. You lift up the world, as Christ said today. Matter of fact, three times in his Gospel of St. John, he talks about being lifted up. Oh, he talks about the fact that he's going to suffer. He's going to have his passion. He's going to have a heinous death. And then he will be lifted up. And the lifting up means also that when he is lifted up, meaning resurrection grace, we will also be lifted up. That means that along the way in our lives, we have many moments of being lifted up. You know, for instance, there's something like birth control that happens. Well, it's not only birth control in that particular act of intimacy. There's a lot of controlling of birth that we do in our own lives. Or sometimes, whether we mean it or not, can manipulate the birthing of the good news, gifts and fruits and virtues, encouragement with others. There's such a thing as abortion. Long before someone experiences something like that, there is perhaps experiences of many abortions in a person's life. I might cut off the life blood, if you will, and the spirit of zeal for your house consumes me, not only in myself, but in others, or I can be influenced to have an abortive attitude. But I cut the life or suck it right out of another person's joy because of my jealousy or selfishness. Long before there is an act of murder, there's many acts of murder that a particular person may have in their life. The murder of hope, the murder of faith, the murder of processing of loving, the murder of forgiveness. Small actions can grow into large ones. What I feed grows. Long before we marry, someone marries that person in their heart. That's what courting is all about. Do they still use that word? It's a coming to know. It's like stripping away pieces of an onion by their skin, one layer at a time. We expose ourselves. We're vulnerable. We speak about what my hopes and dreams are. What I want, we start to talk about what we want. What do I want in this relationship? What do we want in the future of this relationship? So that by the time we marry, please God, in the Catholic Church, when we're Catholic, there's already the covenant making has been made. I just pronounce it formally inside of the ritual, long before we divorce. There's a lot of divorce that happens, small actions of divorce. I separate myself from this. I remove myself from that. Instead of using words like, we, our, and us, pronouns so big today, we start to use individual words, I, me, and mine. So the divorce is just an acting out, the attitude's the father of the action of divorce that has been made over a period of a process. But we get into what Christ says about keeping the commandments. You see, when we keep the commandments and feed that, we enter into a lifelong situation of obedience. If I'm obedient to the commandments, I'm going to be obedient in other areas of my life, if the attitude is the father of the action. And when I am obedient, which means obediare in the Latin, to listen and respond, is a certain clarity that I have. And so I look out on the world, and once more, I lift it up. That's what we do at Mass. And when we're away from it, there's one more person not lifting up the world to the mercy of Jesus Christ. Because that's what Christ is all about and what he was angry about in the Gospel of St. John today. Because people only had eyes for the material. And they were doing it right inside of the holy sanctuary. Consequently, there was no worshiping of God. A veneration of the Most High, whom we would know as the Father. Well, long before they were doing that materialism, in the formal place of worship, there were probably many steps, what I feed grows, of people who worshiped the material with absolutely no thought of making way for planning my eternity. And that's what is expected of us as a Catholic people. We are a people of the sacrament, with an outward sign of an inward reality of Christ lifting us up to do his will. To end this, yesterday we had First Saturday. One of the reasons that we have First Saturday is because our Blessed Mother appeared to St. Lucy. She was already in the convent. It had been about, almost 10 years since 1917 in the original apparitions. She appeared and she said that the world was continuing to get worse, even though the Fatima revelation had already been told. People hadn't responded. Russia hadn't been consecrated. Woe to the world. And so she requested that we meet for the five first Saturdays and we pray for the conversion of those who blaspheme against the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother, her Immaculate Heart, and her role in salvation history. There were five different things that she wanted us to do, one for each month of the five. But the last one seems to be the most telling, if you will. The fifth reason that we are to gather on First Saturdays is to repair for those times in the world when people will desecrate or violate images of Our Lady in the world. This is a heinous and sad action in the sight of Almighty God. She is the Savior of the world, pure love. And it came to me yesterday because we gathered with that sensibility. My goodness, of course, God knows that this would happen in the fullness of time. We gathered yesterday because we wanted to do penance for the fact that a blasphemy occurred at the University of Houston last week or so, that they would erect an 18-foot statue in the center on their campus and celebrate the goddess of abortion. You see, that's antithetical to the images and icons and pictures that we have of Our Lady. The devil's coming out. He's no more subtle. He is very profound now. Naked, he comes out, eyes blazing, with an agenda to ruin the attitudes of humankind that would lead to an action that is full of death instead of life, fear instead of courage, anger and hate instead of love and forgiveness. We have our work cut out for us. And so we gather at Holy Mass, we go to confession, have our children baptized, all of the sacraments, we lift up not only ourselves, but we lift up the whole world, asking the Holy Spirit to send down the mercy that Jesus Christ merited us at the behest of God the Father. So we pray that we will continue to do what we have in the responsorial psalms. We have the words of eternal life, and so stay close to the word, because this is the agenda, the script, the mission statement of how we are to live in the world. And we're to overturn the money changers, if you will, of those who worship false idols. We know better, with the gift of knowledge, about what God expects of us because of the word. But just as importantly and grandly for those of us who are Catholics, he gives us strength in the Holy Eucharist, the bread of everlasting life, the food of the strong, to keep the covenant alive and to lift up in intercessory power, doing penance for the salvation of the world. May God give us the grace to be faithful.